Welcome everyone to African Time, the podcast, and I am your host, Kwesi Foley. Please link, subscribe, share, and if you don't, then I'll just assume you don't like nice things. Today, we have a wonderful guest gracing the mics today. She is a singer of many disciplines such as jazz, R&B, and opera. Haitian American and Brooklyn native Mimi Hilaire.
Hey.
Is a multi-hyphenate talent. She has an active mind that constantly questions her world and her role within it. Mimi is here to talk about her Haitian heritage, Don Lemon, her favorite Creole phrase, why Lizzo is a good person, just kidding, and some of the issues she has faced as a Black woman in opera. Mimi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nah, I just have to... How did I start off again? Oh, yes, in my Ted Koppel voice.
You don't have to do a Ted Koppel voice, Moena.
But why? What if I want to, Mimi?
Ted Koppel's freaking dead.
Wait, what? No, he's not.
I just figured
You know who I'm thinking of? I was thinking of... I don't know why I know all these old white reporters, but like... You know what? I was thinking of Dan Rather.
Oh, okay.
And he...
He's right? kind of lit, but he might die any day now.
Oh, God, yeah. But he's alive.
He might be. He used to have a Twitter.
When did Ted Koppel die? Like a little while ago?
I made that up.
Oh, okay.
See, I made that up.
Why do you think you're so funny?
I'm not trying to be funny. I just took a guess, and I figured I would be right.
I mean, hey, I'm doing my podcasting thing right now, and I'm trying to channel.
Pick somebody Black.
Tom,
this is African Time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yes, African Time.
Sorry,
we just won. Yeah, but it's okay. Who's a well-known? Oh, Tavis Smiley.
Okay,
there you go. Tavis Smiley is one.
Do you have an impression of Tavis?
I think he's Southern.
Are you about to do a generic Southern accent right now?
Exactly. I'm not gonna do that.
The diaspora wars continue.
Don't get me started. We'll get to that soon. So there's Tavis Smiley. There's
Al Roker.
Al Roker, right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Al Roker. Oh, this is terrible.
Don Lemon.
I mean, does he? Yes, he counts. Sorry, I'm just kidding.
He counts. He's changed.
He did change. Yes. I was thinking of like old Don Lemon.
Do you know I met Don Lemon?
Where? When?
Karaoke.
Was he sober? Because usually.
Oh, Lord. Listen, I have no idea.
I'm just thinking of Don Lemon, you know, like during New Year's and you know how late he gets.
Okay. I don't know.
And he's from New Orleans, so.
All I know is that I had a friend at the time that was dating Don Lemon.
Oh, okay.
And we were at a karaoke event for like a birthday party.
Okay.
And I looked and I'm like, I think that's Don Lemon. And this is like before he started being like against Black people. Mm. I think he had just started. He must have been like a month in.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't really keeping track of his career at the time. So I went up to him and was like, oh my God, Don Lemon, like, I love you. And he was like, really? And I was like, oh my God, what? Like, why wouldn't I love Don Lemon? And then I started singing some song. I think it was like, I Want to Dance with Somebody or something.
How's that go?
Oh, I want to dance with somebody.
Okay, got it. Yes, that just one. Like that. Okay.
And he joined in with me so that I wouldn't be doing it alone.
Were you correcting him? Were you like, no, actually, this is how you do the harmony. I want to dance with somebody.
Actually, I felt like he kind of like dominated it in a way.
Did he?
And I was like, okay.
Ugh, man.
Okay, Don. And then, of course, like a few weeks later, I discovered that he had like totally flipped and started being racist. But now he's back on track, right?
Well, they fired him, though, so they got rid of him.
Oh, shiza. When did they fire him?
There was a whole string of, like, CNN firing, so they got...
Oh, they yes. Okay, no, quick. I remember this.
And, I mean, CNN is, you know, has its issues. Oh, Mark Lamont Hill. That's
okay.
Another one. What's her name? Susan O'Brien. Soledad. Soledad O'Brien. Whatever. She's Black.
I mean,
she's mixed race, whatever. But
she's just white passing. It's okay. I accept her. I actually really like her.
Melissa Harris.
Okay, right? Now that we've named all the black people that you know who are news anchors.
That are news, you know. I'm just trying to follow in their footsteps. Okay. So should we, can we actually get to these real questions?
You didn't even say Oprah.
Oprah is a journalist. Gail. You're right. Oprah is a journalist.
What about Gail?
Gail King is a journalist.
Okay, there you go.
Is Whoopi Goldberg, is she a journalist?
No.
Because she's on The View and she asks really good questions.
Does she?
I guess that's like calling Nori. That's like calling Nori from Drink Champs a journalist as well.
Ooh, I don't know who that is, but anyway. What?
Oh, they're these fantastic where literally they talk for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. It's Nori and some rapper or something like that.
Noriega?
Well, yes.
Okay, I just wanted to, because Nori is also like some kind of seaweed.
Are you referring to Noriega?
I'm an opera singer. You expect me to, the number of people that expect me to know things about rap when I listen to mostly opera is crazy.
No, but, but Mimi, really though, when you're like on the subway, you're getting, you're listening to opera. That's what you're trying to tell me. Like,
a lot of the time I am. A lot of the time I am, but I tell you what, I'm definitely not listening to rap. And that's not because I dislike rap.
Oh.
It's truly not. It's just because I don't think about listening to it. It's just not what I listen to. I'm more likely to listen to jazz or like Stevie Wonder or like oldies.
So like if you press shuffle on your music playlist right now. What would the songs that would come up?
Well,
like literally you press
probably shuffle. So probably songs from my gym playlist.
Okay.
Which I have not made. I just use the gym playlists of other people. So I don't know. It's
It would have some rap on that then.
No, probably not.
Okay. That's fine. Why did anyway, Drink Champs, yeah, it's okay, so now that I think about it. But
Noriega. So,
Noriega,
the rapper.
Yes, the rapper. Mm-hmm. So you're right. He is definitely not what I'm trying to channel. I'm trying to channel those journalists. So you're right. I'm not gonna ask this in a British/Ted Koppel accent who might or might not.
Yeah, be yourself.
I'm gonna well, myself is me doing weird accents sometimes. So that's what I do. Randomly.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. I accept you. You can do an accent.
As I am? Why, thank you.
You can do an accent.
Can I?
I support you.
Which one do you want me to do, though? Give me like a little roulette, and then I'll go through it.
Well, part of me wants to say Russian, but I don't want you to be embarrassed.
Oh, God.
Should I give you Russian. One that I know you can do?
all I know with Russian is...
Yeah, but you don't have to say anything.
How has the music... That's all I know. Okay. Dostoyevsky.
Oh, no.
Da.
Don't do it.
Yeah, the mic is not picking that up. Thank you. Helping me out. Don't. Hey, if you whisper, loud enough, people won't hear you. Thank you. So the question I was going to ask before we literally talked about every black journalist.
That you know.
Did you know any more than I did?
This is not my podcast.
Did you know any more than I did? Okay,
this
you did mention
podcast.
Oprah, and you did mention Gail King.
Answer
you're right.
To you, okay.
So my question I was going to ask you, okay, because you are you're an opera singer.
Yes.
You are a band leader. Okay, I guess. But you've been in the music industry for
the longest. Band, yeah. Yeah, I've been working on music stuff for a long time.
I guess, is there a difference between a band leader and a band fronter?
Yeah, because...
What's the difference?
The band leader you can think of more as like a conductor. They don't really conduct, but they kind of like keep everything together musically. And the front person is the person who's normally talking to the audience, singing the songs, kind of doing that aspect of it, like being the band's extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
And the front man is like... the person who is communicating with the audience.
I saw you and the band you were fronting, and you were amazing. And I mean, everyone was looking at you. They weren't paying attention to them. So I don't know. But
oh,
I guess you're the one
God.
Out front. So
yeah, but I mean, that's the way it's designed that way, you know? And people who are in the band, they have to be working at such a high level. If you're enjoying what the front person's doing, it's because the instrumentalists in the band are together. There's no way that you can enjoy what the front person is doing if, like, the music that they're performing to is not really vibing. You know what I mean? I always get so much credit when I perform with my band, but I'm like, the only reason why this is possible, the only reason why people like this is because they're playing with me. You know, I mean, obviously I'm good on my own. I have my own talents that I bring to it, but like, we're there as a team, you know?
That's amazing, and that's very humble of you, which, you know, I wouldn't expect, because, you know, you out here just like, hi, it's me.
I mean, the best kind of musician is definitely a collaborative person.
So, okay, on that tip then, and you're also very vocal about your blackness in a space that I imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't too black, the opera world. But maybe you're about to tell me,
I don't know. The fact that I like opera every day, I'm like, wow, I can't believe I like this. Like, it catches me by surprise every day, because it's sexist, it's racist, it's very conservative in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, it's not conservative, but, like, in a lot of ways, it's just been claimed by conservatism and, like, people who are more traditional. And so I feel like there's a big part of me that's truly at odds with the art form. But I also feel really, really drawn to communicating this way with my voice. And I try not to ask too many questions about that. It's what I want to do. But, yeah, there's not that many black people. I don't know, like, there's not that many. Every time, it's like, the thing that fucking sucks about being an opera singer is that when you're black, there's only like 3 roles that were written specifically for black people that are regularly done. And so, well, if you can't do any of those roles, well, good luck, right? At least 2 of them are in my voice type. One of them I've never done. I don't know if I'll ever do it, but it's like those 2 roles too. It's like one of them is Bess from Porgy and Bess, which is like she's on drugs.
Okay.
The other one is Aida. She's like been enslaved by the Egyptians. She's also a princess. She's an Ethiopian princess, but it's a secret.
Of course it is, yes.
And so...
What's the 3rd one?
I can't even think of it right now. I just know it has to exist.
Okay, and it probably has to do with slavery or...
I don't know, because opera is kind of like... doesn't really deal with that so often.
Oh, okay. Oh, got it.
It's l'Africain.
Oh, the African?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, that actually isn't my voice type. Yeah. But anyway, so it's kind of like, damn, I should be working a lot more. But anyway.
you just so had that, like, epiphany right now, huh?
But it's like, if you aren't doing those things, can't do those things, whatever it is. When people think about roles, when they think like, okay, La Boheme, Mimi, they think about Mimi. One of the characters. My name is Mimi, but there's a character in La Boheme called Mimi.
La Boheme is an opera.
It's an opera. It's the one that Rent is based off of.
Oh, okay.
And so...
what is that? What is that opera? Real quick? Like,
what?
The story?
What's the story?
Yeah, real quick.
It's like a group of young people that are artists, and then one of them gets really sick and fucking dies. And she has a little boyfriend. He's a poet. She's like she crochets shit and sells them, I guess.
Okay.
And, you know, she's been coughing up a storm. And he's like, I'm worried about that bitch. And then she fucking dies. It's real sad.
And who is the opera?
The composer is Puccini. French. It's an opera by Puccini. But they're French people.
Okay.
And Yeah, when people are putting up La Boheme, they're like, let's get someone to play Mimi who has dark hair and is like cute, but, you know, not too good looking, because they're supposed to be like a really hot character, Musetta. You know, they have all these ideas about who they want to sing Mimi, and it's usually in their mind, they're not like, oh, I'm gonna get a black person. They're thinking, or they're not even thinking to themselves, I want to get like a diverse cast. They have an idea for traditionally what Mimi looks like, which is like, she's got darker hair. I've never seen a blonde Mimi. She's got, you know, she's just a little bit more, she's more girl next door. And then that's it, right? They're not like, you know who'd be great at that? That opera singer, what's her name? Karami? Mimi, that girl? No, they're not thinking that. Also, to be fair, I don't see myself really as that kind of a character either. But I'm saying that shit's perfect for my voice. But a lot of people would never consider a black person in the role at all because they're already looking for somebody white. The only time they're looking for you when you're black is specifically for these roles. If you're not doing one of those roles, they're not looking for you. Good luck.
But you've been in roles that were written for white.
Yes, I've performed. My voice type is slightly more rare. I'm also really talented.
Talk about it. I like that.
So I've gotten the opportunity to do roles that where I wasn't selected specifically for my race. But it's like, it's really hard to break into the industry if you aren't doing something that's specifically race related. Mm. And then there's like, nowadays, white people are mad because they're like doing more diverse operas to get more audiences in. And white people are like, oh, I was the wrong color this year. It's like, well, you should have gotten in last year, I guess. Or maybe you could just wait and get a job next year.
And you will always be the right color anyway.
So, yeah. Right. And it's also like, out of the three or four opera companies that are doing something where they hired black people, just apply for the other ones. Just apply for all the other ones.
It's like, yeah, you're going to be all right. Yeah, as usual.
I mean, it's such a fucking cop-out. Deal with it. Anyway.
So I guess what I was going to ask is you're dealing with all of this and you're seeing these obstacles. And you talk about that those times where you go back home and maybe you're like, okay, opera has this and this going against it. Who are some artists, and they don't even have to necessarily be in opera, that gave or give you inspiration and that kind of fuel you to keep going and do this? And are there any artists that you look at as influences on your voice so that you have tailored yourself to? And this is going to lead into my next question, because this is something I've always really wanted to hear from the lion's mouth, horse's mouth.
It could be a somewhere, lion.
Let's say a lioness.
It's interesting. As the more my voice develops, the less I want to sound like anybody else. It's like I hear what I'm becoming, and I'm so proud of what it is. But then before I got to that place, there was Jesse Norman, Leontine Price, Shirley Barrett, all these black people. But also the more I build this relationship with my voice, where I just love and appreciate it, the more I appreciate artists like Maria Callas. She was just so freaking expressive in
these are
every
all
moment.
Singers.
They're all opera singers. Okay. They're like, opera's so specific. It's hard to be like, oh, I like this, what this person does. But like when they're not in the realm of opera, but there are some singers like that for me. One of them is Prince. Although these days, It's really hard for me to watch like Prince interviews because I just feel like he was not, he just made people very uncomfortable and he liked to do that. It's very strange.
Oh,
but anyway,
okay.
I really love how he's just like so accepting of who he is. Like all the songs he writes about just being like non-binary, basically. If we had that language today, he would definitely be non-binary because, you know, he has that song, I'm not a woman, I'm not a man, I am something that you'll never understand. So it's like, yeah, he's just like, he's non-binary. And I really love, I don't listen to a lot of Björk. That's how she pronounced her name, okay?
Okay.
And it's a post-colonial choice.
Okay.
She's like, the Danes got you out here pronouncing Björk. But my name is Björk.
Okay.
Okay. So I really like how she's so willing to just fucking like growl into a microphone sometimes. And she's just so crazy. Like, I really like it. I don't listen to a lot of her music, but I think it's so inspirational to see someone being a crazy bitch on stage, you know? Well, you know, Janet Jackson. And because she's so comfortable in her body. And I always feel so weird in my body on stage. Like, if I'm not, like, fully engaged in my character and what I'm singing, I feel freaking weird. So just seeing Janet Jackson up there just like, we all live.
Do not apologize ever for gracing us with your wonderful voice.
Oh, stop.
It's true. You know it is.
You know, you're right. But no, I mean, just Janet Jackson, she's just so, oof, she just moves so well, like with this comfort, this ease. And
it complements her, or her voice, or I guess they work in tandem, right?
Her, I mean, I don't admire her singing at all.
Oh, okay. Got it.
No. Well, come okay. on.
What does that mean? I feel like.
No. I admire who she is when she performs, and I like a bunch of her songs. But she's not, like, pushing the limits of what she can do vocally.
Ah,
you know, she's out there. Oh, baby, baby, baby. I mean, anybody could do that.
Ooh.
Sorry. I do love her, though. I love her. She, like, a great artist doesn't have to have an amazing voice.
Okay.
I love Janet Jackson.
So, you
really
know what?
Though.
Perfect segue.
That's not even really. Is that controversial?
Is
it? Who's.
I don't know.
Who sings worse than Janet? Sorry. Who has, like, a music career that's
decades. I already know what I'm going to put on the headline for this podcast anyway, so this is
oh,
great.
Oh, Lord.
Janet
okay.
Jackson is trash.
Oh, I didn't say she was trash. I love her so much.
Right. But you're not
at least once
this.
A year, I have to sit down and watch all of her videos.
So the visual is important.
Yeah.
Because you're not checking her for her voice. I got you.
No.
Okay.
But I like it, though. Like, I like her voice.
So that kind of leads me to this is going to be my last thing.
Okay.
I just wanted to dedicate a couple minutes to who you are, your background, right? Because, yes, you're a musician, a highly talented one, at least in my estimation. But you're also Haitian. And you're like, yeah.
That's true.
And I just wanted to know if, because we see it through art that people's identities, especially, and even, you know, white people try and deny this, of course, right? Because they try and make themselves the mainstream and, oh, it just is.
Uh-oh.
But their identities influence.
I feel like you're going to expect me to know so much about being Haitian.
No, it's not. I literally, all I was just going to ask is that, have you found your Haitian identity, background, experiences seep into your music, your voice, anything that you do?
Yes.
And
actually,
what are they? That's
okay,
it.
I have a theory.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Because the way Haitian people speak is really kind of like open and like open-throated, and people are really kind of loud.
And you're being specific about their speaking Haitian Creole, not English or some other language. Okay, got it.
I feel like that has taught me, has like prepared me to sing operatically. in a certain way, in terms of like placement and all that stuff. I feel like if I grew up with people that spoke like this all the time in the house, then it would have taken me a long time to figure out how I was going to sing really loudly. But I never had to worry about that because everyone in my house yells. You know? People are always yelling. So I feel like it was easy for me to like understand how to do it.
Do you have because you know, different people, different languages. Do you have a favorite Haitian Creole phrase or word that when you, right, that makes you chuckle like that?
Well, mostly no. I just know bad words.
Oh, okay. That's true too. Here. I'll tell you one, yeah?
Okay. Are you going to curse at me?
Oh, no, I'm not going to curse at you. It's okay. Actually a very, so I'm Ghanaian American.
That's true.
Yes. And specifically from the Volta region in Ghana.
Ooh. Sounds like there's good wine there.
Volta? I don't think so. We definitely have palm wine. Devil's water.
Okay. Devil's water. That sounds good.
Everyone I feel has like their different version of palm wine. Anyway, there was something that my mom, who, you know, passed away a little while ago, always used to say to us when we would like trip and fall. She would say, Babana. And in a very literal translation, it means sorry, like I'm sorry, but not in the apologetic way, but like when you tripped and fall and she would say Babana, it almost meant like I feel your pain, I'm sorry that you're dealing with that.
Wow.
So when my mom passed, a bunch of my relatives, you know, aunties and uncles, they would come by and they would say that Babana. And I heard that and I was like, why are they, I haven't tripped, I haven't hurt myself, but it was to almost, again, say, I feel your pain. Yeah. I'm sorry you're going.
Wow.
And it's very empathetic. Like, mm-hmm. You don't really have that in English. Because I would hear, you know, you would tell something that's happening. You'd be like, this and this happened. And people would be like, oh, I'm sorry. And then the thing they would respond with is, oh, well, you don't have to be sorry. You didn't do it. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. But that's.
Yeah, I'm empathizing.
Right, exactly.
You.
And mm-hmm. That shows how English lacks in that very real way of connecting with someone, like, oh, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Chimamanda Adichie always says that English is very cold, like it's very removed.
Got you.
Which I think is really interesting.
So that has become one, and now I've started saying it just to like my friends, and when they deal with something that has, especially emotionally, because you know, not a lot of my friends are like falling down and scraping their knees and crying about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Babana, just to, you know, show that, hey, I'm here. So. Okay. Not a curse word.
Actually,
whatever you think.
What you just said brings to mind. There's two things. I guess, like, I don't know if every Haitian person says this or if it's just like the people that I know, but there are two phrases that I can think of. One of them is said, like, if you trip and fall.
Okay.
People will say, Kembe jeunesse, which means hold on to your youth. Just like, only old people fall. So you're going to look old if you're starting to fall places. So
that,
like,
is amazing.
Hold on to
Sorry, that. Say that again.
Oh, please don't make me say it. I have such a bad English accent. I'm embarrassed.
The Haitian people are going to be like, who is
Listen,
this?
Listen, if any, I'm so sorry. You should have gotten Jesse Wu.
She's hilarious, actually. Yeah, she's great.
And she's a great singer.
Oh, I did not know that about her. But
she's so good.
What was that again?
It's Kembe jeunesse. Kembe jeunesse.
Hold on to your youth.
Yeah. And the other thing that I really like is my aunts and uncles used to say this to us. Like, if somebody was cooking a meal, like if one of the younger people in the family cooked a meal or something and it was really good, then the adults would say, Uka marié, which means you're ready for marriage. I don't know if my family is just hilarious or if everybody says this. But
I mean, what is your last name?
Hilaire.
There you go. So
you're right.
I mean, I'm guessing.
It's in the name. Names are spells.
So they would say that when a woman is, and the food is particularly good.
It could be
good.
A man, to anybody. Oh. Like, if you cooked and it's good.
Good, okay.
They and would, it's really good.
They would say what again?
Uka marie.
Got you.
It's like, you're ready now.
And I also just have to say this for more for myself, but Haitian Creole is just not French. It isn't.
Why?
It's not.
What?
No, I'm just asking for, because, you know, there are always those people that try and like make it seem like Haitian Creole is just a dialect in a way, or like some kind of offshoot, when it's like its own language with its own syntax.
I mean,
own
I
thing.
Feel like it's its own language, but there's a lot of similarities to French. I mean, there are a lot of things also that make it like, like you don't conjugate as much in Creole. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you just don't conjugate as much. So a French person would be profoundly confused. Also, gender does not work the same way at all. So you'd be profoundly confused because the gender of something decides the grammar in this really serious way in French, but it's like there's no gender in Creole. Like, I can't think of any sentence I would make which indicates the gender of any object. So it's kind of like, or any person even. So it's kind of hard to like Creole is heavily influenced by French and you can't get around that. Like, Uka marie. Marie is like, you know, that's from French. But French people would have a really hard time speaking French Creole. Just like, oh, well, actually, now white people are starting to speak Ave.
Speak what?
Ave.
What's that?
Oh, African American vernacular English.
Oh, gotcha,
ever heard
gotcha,
of it?
Gotcha. I'm still gonna call it Ebonics, so.
Why? I'm not from Ebonia, and neither are you.
But what is AAV? What is, I mean, I know what it means, but
it's vernacular English.
I don't.
Ebonics,
I guess what I was,
there's no country called Ebony that we're from, so that's why Ebonics doesn't make sense.
But. Wasn't that just a, I think it's just a, I just think that everyone always has to replace things with these academic or academia. Ain't nobody in, I don't know, here saying, I'm speaking Ave. No, it's just Ebonics.
No.
Like, that's what it's been. And I think all of these, you know, people
like,
that were in
but
Howard
Ebonics
or
doesn't
Fisk,
respect,
that was like,
it doesn't respect that we're all from different places. Ebonics indicates or implies that there's a specific place that
is
we're
that where
all
it comes from.
From
Ebonia? What that's what
let's
the,
look it up. Where's the Wikipedia?
That's what the background was. We ain't got time to do that. That's fine. But okay, yeah, I just and of course this is not really that big of a, but I just feel like, again, I don't think the lay person or the common person is gonna know about African American vernacular.
Well, you know
English,
what?
But
you know what? I yes. prefer Ave.
And that's fine.
Because Ebonics is like, who, first of all, who came up with that? And all those people, whoever came up with that, decided that we were Ebony. And that's why we're, which I feel like does not respect that Black people are not a monolith.
Mm, true.
I feel like African American vernacular English is very specific. It's our way of speaking English. If we choose not to code switch.
True.
Or whatever.
I mean, I guess, yeah, a bunch of things can have a bunch of different names, but just like.
You can
know.
Say Ebonics and
like,
I won't
just
be
like
mad
people,
at you.
Yeah, or like, you know, people say Latinx versus Latine versus Latino Latina. Like, they're just different mm-hmm. ways. And of course, through academia and through different people trying to appease different places or appease different people. But I just know that I have a feeling a fair amount of Black people are not.
You're making a big assumption about a fair amount of Black people. But
that's
okay.
What,
I have a question for you, actually.
Go ahead.
Do you consider Haiti to be part of Latin America? Like, would you consider me Latinx?
No.
Okay, I was just wondering.
What do you think?
Would you consider the Dominican Republic to be part of Latin America?
No.
¿Por qué no?
Because it's part of the Caribbean. It's different. So, like Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic.
They're not Latin. I feel like you're.
They're like Latinos,
wrong.
But. No, I'm just saying. Okay, wait. So you're speaking of.
So they're
you
Latino.
You said Latin America, right?
So doesn't the word Latino reflect that you're from Latin America?
Yes, but it's not.
Then how could you call Dominicans Latino and not Haitians? Because they don't speak the same language? That's a genuine question. I know it came out sounding shady.
No, I believe you, but I think it's just like how Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
Trinidad is within, like, it's part of the Caribbean, but it's not you wouldn't call. Hold on, let me go back. I'm sorry.
Go into your mind palace.
So wait, sorry. Ask that question again.
Would you consider Haiti, or Haitians, or whatever, to be Latino?
Right. No.
This is actually a debate. I mean, it's
right,
it's
so,
literally
so,
debatable.
Okay, sorry. That's why I was sticking.
Do you have any opinions about this?
That's what I was. So that's what I was saying with. That's why I got it. I got lost real quick. Like Guyana is in South America.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's not considered part of Latin America.
That's crazy.
Do you know what I mean? Because
don't you see a pattern here?
Anglophone, because it's like an Anglophone. Yeah.
Do you not see a pattern? I feel like when you're black, they don't.
So
want
that's
you
why
to
I was like,
let's look it up. No, for real.
I was like,
this is a good thing.
I know ask that I computer. Wasn't lost on that, and I was like, wait a minute. I know I'm coming to a point here.
Ask
but,
your computer.
Ask my computer.
Where, technically, whether or not Haitians are Latin American.
But yeah, it's so right. It's not.
I think
not.
We can't leave here without knowing.
It's not. Haiti is not part of Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Trinidad is not part of Latin America. Or Guyana in South America mm-hmm. is not
okay.
part of Latin America.
The part that confuses me is the Dominican Republic being right there.
Yes, but there's a definite demarc. Like, y'all are split.
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
We are split. You could say that again.
In like many ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Is Haiti a Latin American country?
Mm-hmm.
Haiti is a Latin American country.
Well,
located in the Caribbean, Haiti was a French
siempre
colony.
Siempre que te pregunto que cómo, cuándo y dónde, tú siempre me respondes. Quizás, quizás, quizás. Pa-ra-pa-pa-pam-pam. Y así pasan los días. What you know
okay,
about that?
So I guess
you should be referring to me as Latina.
Fair enough. So
I'm an Afro Latina.
So people from Guyanese are Latin then?
I don't know. Ask the Google. I barely even knew about Haitians.
Yeah, right. I wonder what that's rooted in. You know what? Hey, yeah.
Probably racism, like everything else.
That's, yeah, you're right. The entire continent of South America, in addition to Mexico, Central America, and the islands of the Caribbean. So I guess, yeah, they are Romance languages.
Yeah, I truly think it's really funny how all the islands or all the places where the black people are at, they're not Latin American. You know, seems like racism to me. I just got a feeling.
I mean, Brazilians, oh, right. But Brazil is definitely considered a Latin American country, but there's a fair amount of. But
third largest slave trade was in Brazil.
Right.
The camera's looking at me. This one's looking at me.
So Guadeloupe, Martinique, all those countries
mm-hmm.
in the Caribbean, yes, mm-hmm. there would be Latin American.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
So you're Latina? Latina?
It's true. I'm
but then
Latina.
What places are considered part are West Indian then? Or a part of the West Indies?
I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say Jamaica, Barbados, Bahamas. Those places.
But Haiti? Haiti would be considered part of the West Indies too, right?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I didn't learn about Haiti in school.
You were just Haitian. That was it.
I'm just Haitian. That's
You're
enough.
Just Haitian. Yeah, that's all the education you need. Mimi, well, thank you for showing me that I don't know shit and that I have a lot to learn. And
we all have a lot to learn. It's okay.
That's true. I mean, what is it they say? The more you know, the more you don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. The more you fuck around, the more you gotta find out.
I think that's perfect. How do you say goodbye in Haitian Creole?
I do know.
Oh, okay.
Nopwe.
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 It's nope. Like, I'll see you.
Oh, okay. Got you. And what were the two other phrases again? I might have to start saying that to myself, especially me walking around with the cane. Get my youth back or the youth? What was it?
Kembejenesu.
Okay, please put that upon me. Mimi, it was really great having you here.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
If you want to follow Mimi, you can go to her Instagram and TikTok and follow her at The Last Mimi. Mimi is spelled M-I-M-I. I want to give a big shout out to TK Dutest for editorial support, Josh Wilcox at Brooklyn Podcasting Studio, and The Gap BK, Mariah Johnson, for additional support with this podcast. Peace and love to y'all, everyone.